Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode 150 from the top down and from the inside out. David, how are we doing?
Doing great.
Excellent. Well, first of all, welcome back. You and Steph just got back from a speaking engagement in Canada where you shared the stage with some pretty amazing people. How was your experience up there in the Great White North?
It was great. It's great. It's always fun to go to Canada. Canada is one of the places where my career started. Some of my very first seminars were done there in Toronto. So I've taught for a long time all across Canada. I absolutely love it up there.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful place. I love it too. Shout out to all of our Canadian friends who are listening today. So in this episode, you mentioned the phrase, as above, so below.
Yep.
Can you refresh our memories again on what that means when it comes to achieving the results we desire?
Yeah, so the idea is this. Spirit or knowledge, whatever it is that you want to call it, is always moving from a higher potential to a lower. That means that it is omnipresent in the universe. And it manifests through what we call the physical form, whether that's a human being or that's a plant or that's an animal. It manifests through life. So it's moving from a higher potential to a lower potential and then from the inner to the outer.
Okay, excellent. So, and there was a teaching you did in this episode, and you mentioned that knowledge, exists on frequencies. And then you brought in the analogy similar to how a radio operates, right? So, first of all, shout out to The Loop, FM 97.9, Chicago's classic rock station. I'm sure that brought you right back to your youth, didn't it?
Yeah.
So
a little too close.
Yeah, right? I have a great radio voice for that. You use the idea of frequencies, and you talked about making a decision to manifest a specific result. And you said many times switching bands to the idea that it already must be here, similar to how we have FM bands, AM bands, etc. Staying in the same thought only gets you the same result, which means you have to change those bands again. This is a really cool analogy. Can you just expand on that a little bit? Because I love listening to this talk. The fact that radio exists in this room right now, but you need to have something to dial it in.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know where I got that idea from. I know a lot of people use that idea now, but I had never heard anybody do it. It was something that just came to my mind one day that it's very much like frequencies of a radio. And what's amazing about it, to help a person to really to understand this with their mind, is that we really do have all these radio frequencies in the room that we're in right now, but you can't hear them. And if you have a radio station, a radio, and you dial it into a specific frequency, you don't hear any of the other frequencies. You only hear the one frequency, and it's clear. If you're a hair off on that dial, it's static.
Right.
Right? So our mind works very much the same way. If we have a very clear image of what it is that we're looking for, and we keep that image clear, we're dialing into the frequency of everything that we need to create that thing because it's already here, right? But most people confuse this with dialing it into happy thoughts, right? Or just saying I'm rich, right? That is not a frequency.
Right.
Okay. So the idea is that we need to attract the thoughts into our life to create the life that we want. And I often ask people, like, think about everything that was created by human hands. Where did it exist before we created it? It didn't just come from nowhere, right? Think about the first chair, the first arrow, the first spear, the first axe. Like, over time, we had images in our mind. We had desires. That was information from a higher to a lower.
Sure.
And then from the inner to the outer, we had to figure out how do we actually manifest that in our life. What do I need to create in order to do that? And that's what caused us to experiment. I mean, that's basically where science came from,
sure.
Right? I'm going to keep experimenting with these physical properties and see what happens if I do this, remove this, mix that, you know, take away from this, try to find a way to attach these two pieces together, you know, a stone and a branch. And now I got an axe or I have a hammer, right?
Right.
How do I get the stone to attach to the branch? Oh, let me take this vine and wrap this vine around it. And then, if I wrap it around it, it comes undone. How do I get the vine to stick to itself? Well, if I make this little contortion with it and I push the vine in this way and this way, now I've discovered a knot.
Right.
Right? And like there's thousands of different knots.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So like all that information has been here. When we lived in the cave, we had the ability to create the iPhone. The only difference is we weren't aware of it. We weren't thinking on that frequency.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and that's a mind blower. Like when you think about that, you've talked about that many times, it's crazy to think that back in the time of, you know, Grog, who's running around, you know, taking down mastodons or whatever, he had the things were already there. Like nothing has been newly created. It's just that we weren't aware of it, that awareness piece.
We weren't aware of it.
It's a mind blower.
I love this part. So when I first started in my career, I used to say to people that I would hold up my flip phone and I would say, the science fiction that we had in Star Trek is now a reality. Now today you hold up an iPhone and it's surpassed the science fiction of the early 1970s, right? Because they used a flip phone on the USS Enterprise.
Yes, when we're hailing Spock.
Yes, right? So we've actually surpassed that science fiction dream that people thought was impossible. I mean, they would laugh. I remember when I was a kid and we would play, you know, because you could get like the Star Trek tool belt and you had the flip phone and, you know, the laser gun. And that's all reality today. Like those things are actually real. But then, you know, like if you were to say to an adult, you know, this will be real someday, they would laugh. Yeah, phone without a wire. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, that's really going to happen. Right. Whoever thought that people wouldn't have house phones in their kitchen anymore, you know, like
with a 40-foot cord,
right? The days of the phone man coming to your house to install the new phone jacks and all that would be obsolete, would be gone because everybody would have a personal phone device that they, you know, they carry with them.
That's true. Computer in your pocket.
But here's the thing: where was it? Like the iPhone was an image that Steve Jobs had in his mind, and if you read his biography, you will find out that everything about this was a challenge to create because it didn't exist. It did not exist. The steel case that encloses it, the glass, which was originally called Gorilla Glass, mm-hmm. They hadn't invented it yet. He had to find somebody not only to create it, but they had to literally build a factory in China that could create enough of it that they could actually make the phone with. Instead of it having square corners, having rounded corners was an engineering feat in and of itself, how they were able to actually do that, because they would tell him, like, nobody wants round corners. And he's like, they don't know what they want yet until you show them what they want. And he insisted that it have round corners and that everything was thin, like all Apple devices are thin,
yes,
right? Because thin is aesthetically attractive to the eye. It works. It's not this big bulky thing that you have in your pocket. It slips in and you don't, you know, it's thinner than most guys' wallets.
Right.
Right. So it fits in the hand, you know, very well. So like the amount of thought that somebody had to put into this and that all that information's in the universe, they're taking it from a higher to a lower. And then they're insisting because I can see it in my mind, it can be created in my hand, and therefore we have it. But then we've got this microphone. We've got this bottle of soda, you know, this mat.
Everything around you.
This table was a tree at one time growing in a forest somewhere. And now it's, you know, it's just in a very different shape.
It's just so fascinating to me. You know, the other day I was actually looking at my phone and I was dialing in one of the many podcasts I listen to. Of course, this is at the top of my list. And it's crazy to think that is on a electronic box that I can send to my wireless AirPods and listen to these things that people are putting out there, when back in the day we had, like you said, a phone in our kitchen that had a cord and we had to sit in the kitchen and talk to the people and our parents could hear everything. It's crazy to think where it's gone from even back in the 70s, 80s, 90s to where it is now. What's it going to be like in the next 5, 10, 20 years? It's absolutely crazy when you think about that. And I love the fact that it's always been here.
Yeah.
That stuff has always been here. It just, it's hard for me to wrap my head around that, but it's so very true. Nothing new has been invented. It's just the awareness around it and how we put things and manipulate things,
right,
is what moves it forward. I think it's just, you could do a whole series on this piece right here. It's just, it's fascinating to me, but let's get back to the matter at hand. In the episode, you talked about making mistakes. And making mistakes and even failure is all a part of this process. The idea is to adjust so you don't repeat it, i.e. making the same mistake over and over and over again. All of life learns, corrects, and grows into the next stage. Those were your words. And I thought that was brilliantly put. It's not difficult or painful for you to make mistakes because you know that there's growth there. And I'm speaking to you specifically. Where did that idea come from? Since I assume you were not born without outlook that, you know, mistakes shouldn't be painful. Or were you born, maybe I should rephrase it.
I wasn't born with that
idea. You weren't born, no, you weren't born with that idea, but you somewhere, where did that come from? The fact that, you know, I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to make more mistakes probably than I have successes. Where was that pivotal moment where you're like, you know what, I'm going to screw this up and it's going to be, and I'm going to be okay?
I don't know that there was a pivotal moment. I think it was a learning over time. It was part of when I was studying that I realized that in all these people that have created all these amazing things, they failed over and over and over and over.
Probably
and over
more
again.
So than they succeeded, right? I mean, most people fail oftentimes more than they...
Way more than they succeeded.
Right. And I don't think people realize that. Like, they believe that, you know, I'm going to make a mistake here and there, but, you know, it's going to be very few, and I'm going to try to eliminate that, and I'm going to be perfect. And speaking from a perfectionist standpoint, because that's what I aspired to be, and then I started learning from you and realized that it's unattainable, it's one of those situations where, you know, you're going to make mistakes, and look at them as a stepping stone to something better.
Yeah, well, right? It's totally a stepping stone.
Yeah.
I think the realization happens when a person lets go of the idea of failure being an absolute, right? That failure is a process. It's part of the process, but it in no way means it's over. It's done. But a lot of people, like, I was raised with the idea, like, if you fail, it's done.
Oh, right. You know, it was an end result.
Right. I was told that if I quit high school, my life would be shit and there would be no turning it around, right? That proved to be wrong.
Right.
What was interesting was that the only person when I was a child, the only person that had gone to college was my grandmother, right? Believe it or not. She was the first person in the family to go to college. But there was nobody after her. Like, my mom didn't go to college. Her brother didn't go to college. My dad didn't go to college. Nobody else that I'm aware of in the family had actually gone to college at that point. So it wasn't something that was really pushed. It was like, if you want to go, go. But there was a whole lot of that. It was expensive and you don't like to study and it's a lot of study and this type of thing. My dad pushed a little bit with me. He was trying to get me to buy into the idea, but I never really bought into it. I wanted to go see what I could do on my own, but I had to learn what I didn't know first, right? So it was just a process of, look, I have screwed everything up in my life that I could possibly screw up, and I'm still here. I'm still alive. We're not homeless. We're not eating out of a garbage can. That never happened. You know, we were in bad straits. No, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
We were definitely not living the best, and we were on food stamps for a while, and we had to turn that around. But that came from the ignorance of not knowing how to manage the money that we had. It came from impulsive buying. Impulsive spending. It came from not understanding that necessarily working hard was going to earn more money, or working harder was going to earn more money, because I was working two jobs. My wife was working two jobs, and we couldn't get out of our own way. So you hit a point of diminishing returns. You know, sure. You're trying to raise kids, you're exhausted. Like it's just it's crazy. And I realized that something needed to change. So I started thinking differently about that. And I realized that I'm not worried about failing. Like, you know, what I really want to know is, can I succeed? That's what plagued my mind.
Yeah, and it's perspective, right? I mean, one person who views it on the outside as failure, you know for yourself that that's something that you're going to learn from and grow from. And it was an important moment in the process to get to that successful place.
It was, Brandon. But here's the thing. I needed to train my mind to see success. Because everything that I looked at didn't look like success. I mean, I've told you this story before where I went through a period of a few years where I kept thinking about a business and I would think about another one and another one and another one. And nothing ever landed on me. And even though what is true was that like I wasn't finding the one that really sparked a flame in me at the time, I was also thinking about why they wouldn't work. So, and the truth is that any one of them could have worked, right? They may not have gotten me what I have today, but I would have had some success with those things. I did not know how to identify opportunity to succeed. That's something a person needs to train themselves to be able to see, because if you're told that you're not smart enough to do that, or only people that are really intelligent can do that, or you need a lucky break to do that, or you got to know people to do that, or you've got to have a lot of schooling to do that, or whatever, like all the different crazy bullshit things that people tell us that you need to have to be successful, then every time you look at something, you say, well, I can't do that, because subconsciously you're ticking off all the reasons that you were told that you can't, so you don't see it is an opportunity. You see it as something that you can't do. And I had just a smidge of a breakthrough on that when I was on the dock and I changed my mindset and I went from one thing to another because it was right there the whole time. And that was stunning for me because I tripled my income in a month. But even though that was a big deal, the bigger thing that I had to wrap my mind around was that it was there for 2 years and I didn't recognize it as something that had the potential to do that. Right. So I was like, I need to train my mind to be able to see that.
Now, in that moment when you did have that smidge of a breakthrough, did you judge yourself for not seeing it sooner? Was there a point of frustration? I think we all do that, don't we?
Yeah. I was like, am I stupid? Am I not smart? I didn't know at that time that your mind was programmed.
Sure.
Nobody ever told me that before. And that your perception controls your reality because you can only see what your belief system tells your perception to see. So I was seeing all the things that were wrong with this opportunity and why I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I didn't know how to evaluate all the reasons why.
Yeah. Instead of celebrating the breakthrough that you had, you're probably thinking to yourself, God damn it, I could have been 2 years ahead of where I am now. And then it goes and throws you into a spiral. Because I know there's people out there who are listening who probably had the same thing happen to them, but they didn't come out of it. Maybe they just judged themselves so much to the point where they just stopped right there and quit moving forward. You thankfully did not. You're like, okay, well, that sucks. That's 2 years. But hey, I learned from it. Change, adapt, and grow.
Well, to your point, one of the things that I did when I first got that job was I started thinking about all the ways not to screw it up,
sure.
Right? Like, here's all the things that I've done before to screw up a job. How do I not do that with this job?
That's like playing not to lose instead of playing to win.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And what happened was at some point in that process, it got turned around because unbeknownst to me, I was doing a really good job. And they noticed that I was doing a really good job. And I would walk into the dispatcher's office every day, and they would call me Diamond Dave, right?
Sure.
And the dispatcher was kind of a cocky fuck. Like, he had nicknames for everybody or whatever. But they generally weren't positive nicknames, and I couldn't figure out why they were calling me this. And one day, something needed to be done, and the dispatcher said, give it to Diamond Dave. He'll make sure it gets done. And I was like, oh, they nicknamed me that because I can get anything done. And then I started having this conversation. Like, I got pulled in for a review. And they're like, you know that there's not anything that we've given you that you've not figured out how to complete. So, you know, we're really appreciative. Or, you know, of all that. And I was like, okay, I'm on the right track here.
Right.
And then it was shortly after that that I got promoted. But I actually had to sell them on that idea because I got promoted into a job that didn't exist.
Yeah.
So I literally created the idea of this position that I got promoted into, and they didn't want to give it to me at first because I lived 100 miles away from where I worked. And they were like, well, you can, like, if I was just going to drive a truck, I could drive out of the North Yard, which was by O'Hare Airport, which was only 62 miles from sure. where I worked. But to drive down to Lamont, where I was working from, that was almost 100 miles from my house. And there, and the owner was like, yeah, he's not going to drive 100 miles one way to work. You know, that's insane. Like, just right. to tell him to stay, what he's doing. And I had to go ahead and plead my case and be like, no, yeah, I will. Not wow. only will I do that, I'll be on time every day.
Yeah.
Right. And when they saw me do that, they were just like shocked. Like, this is like, we've never seen anybody want something this bad. I was the first person to ever be promoted outside of the core family that owned that company from a driver into management.
Yeah. I love that. And if you want a little bit more mystique and the rise of the legend of Diamond Dave, go back and listen to episode 72, Show Me the Money, and then go inside that episode because David talks a little bit more about Diamond Dave and who that person was. Hard as a rock, Diamond Dave. I love it. That's perfect. So you titled this episode From the Top Down and From the Inside Out.
Yeah.
I read that title and I'm fully aware that our growth is... growth and success is an inside job, which we talk about a lot. And at the center of all this is gratitude. You mentioned gratitude. And I definitely want to send people to episodes 37 through 39. Last year, kind of around this time, you did a series on the three stages of gratitude, which is freaking fantastic. In this episode, you talked about how the faith and the knowledge that what you want is here and it's here now, and it'll show up when you need it. So how do we keep the fear, the anger, and then those other negative emotions that worm their way into our minds? How do we keep those out of our minds and embrace this new way of thinking to create that which we desire?
You got to want it bad enough.
Got to want it bad
enough. You got to want it bad enough. There's, you know, there's people that have made millions of dollars on selling tricks and gimmicks on how to get rid of the fear. And here's the truth about it. If you could pull that part of my brain out and replace it like it was a chip, right? There would be no personal growth involved. I wouldn't learn what I need to learn to be able to overcome that in my life. You would just take out one operating chip and put in a different one. There's no growth there, right? So people that use, NLP and, mm-hmm. All this other stuff, it's not that those things don't have their place, but you don't gain the awareness that you do when you actually work through something on your own. The ideas that you come from this place, that you learn how to do it regardless of those internal experiences that you're having. And what ends up happening is you gain an awareness that they're not real. You gain an awareness that what you want to create for your life is real. It also builds the strength and the knowledge of being able to overcome anything that you want in your life. Right? So when the next big thing comes that scares the shit out of you, you're like, well, I've done this before. I know how to handle this before. This, the whole idea of fear of false evidence appearing real type thing, that's all it really is. We're only born with two fears. Every other fear is learned. It's somebody else's. I don't need to pay attention to it. And slowly but surely, those fears start to lose their intensity, and eventually most of them actually go away.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter is it's never going to fully go away. It's always here. It's just how you look at it and how you handle it that tells you how far you've come and how far you've grown.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's finish with this. You mentioned briefly in the episode about mastery, and mastery does not mean that learning ever stops. Rather, you're always expanding your craft or your gift that you were intended to leave with this world. Would you agree that we can always better our best, even the master of something, you can always better
your
best?
No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. There is nothing, there's always more. Right? My mentor used to say, there is no right way to do anything. There's always a better way, right? So there's a good way. There's a way that makes it work, but there's always a better way to do something. So everything is in a constant state of evolution. And the moment that if we forget that and think this is it, I've got it, there's nothing else, then there is no more growth after that point. There's always growth to the next phase. And that's generally when a huge evolution will take place. When something has grown to a point, and then people think to themselves, I don't think this can go any further. It's like it jumps. It makes a quantum leap and goes way past where that is, right? Because there's no bridge between the two. It led up to a certain point, and then it creates something completely different. I forget where this was written, but it was talking about the evolution of an animal, and it said that an animal evolves when it becomes too big for its present place, right? Well, a human being is the same thing. You'll go to the next place when you become too big for your present place. So the only thing we need to work on is ourselves. How can I make myself better in this place, become too big for the place, and then I grow to the next place?
Yeah, and I feel like that's what's happening with your company and your growth. I feel like, you know, one of the big tenets of what we're doing is we've always aspired to better our best. I think that's what separates us from a lot of people in this particular industry, because there's a way for us to always get better. Even though from the outside, people look at it like that event was flawless, that episode you cut was perfect. We analyze it not to point out any faults or anything, but it's more like, how can we do this better? How can we help more people? And that is top down as well. That comes from you, who always, you know, I don't want to say demands it, but you expect us to always be thinking outside the box to better our best. And I think that is what makes, that's why we don't turn anybody over in this company. That's why the people are here, have been here for the long run, because it comes from the top down, which, you know, top down, inside out.
Right. You got it.
I love it. It's perfect. I loved this episode. I hope you all did too. Thanks for coming inside, David.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.